What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, we've all experienced it. Listen, a bit of boredom kicks in. You're not listening to The Hard Shoulder, obviously. It's some other time of the day or some other time of the week and boredom kicks in. And what do? You do the obvious thing, the easy thing. You reach out for the computer in your pocket, for your phone. And what do? You start scrolling. You doom scroll on that phone. Well, I hate to break it to you, but the science is in. Not only does it not do anything to alleviate your boredom, it actually amplifies your boredom and it adds a little dash of despondency too, apparently. Brendan Kelly is with me, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of Resilience Lessons from Sir William Wilde and Life After COVID. Brendan, good to see you.
Thanks for having me in.
So this is kind of settled now, is it? This picking up the phone to relieve my boredom doesn't actually do anything.
No, it doesn't relieve the boredom at all. And it amplifies something that we've always known about humans, which is that we have a negativity bias. We are drawn towards bad news.
All of us.
All of us, always, even before we had phones. We tend to blame phones for everything now. But what they do is they amplify aspects of human nature that were always present. So in the 1970s, they described something called mean world syndrome, where we are drawn to stories that tell us the world is worse, more dangerous than we thought, and deteriorating with every passing second. The phones have allowed us to amplify that negativity bias and think that everything is getting worse far quicker than we thought, when in fact it isn't.
Why? Why are we drawn to those stories?
Well, I can give you a bunch of reasons and you can pick your favourite
one. Okay.
Do you like a bit of evolution?
I like that now.
I can tell you that it's more important to be aware a lion is about to jump out and kill you than it is to appreciate a beautiful landscape. So in some senses, our brains are hardwired.
It's a survival thing.
Yeah, that's, if you like, your evolution. Fairly simple and fairly clear. You can take that one. I can come in with some science if you
okay,
like.
Yeah.
Do you like a bit of science?
Yeah, so, a little bit. I prefer the evolutionary stuff, but go on, I'll let you do it.
Thank you very much. In the front of our brains, we have something called the inferior frontal gyrus. It's a bit of our brain that is totally devoted to filtering incoming information. And that is built to select out the negative information and to send it into our brains. It is not built, it is not designed to keep the positive, good, restful information. So by doing the doom scrolling on our phones, we're basically tickling this front part of our brain and it leads us into a spiral of negative thinking and doom.
Okay, so we like to give out that the algorithm is the one doing this. It's the algorithm. Now, the algorithm pushes this, but it's pushing it because the brain kind of craves it on some level. Is that right?
The algorithms don't come from nowhere. The algorithms are based on observed human behavior on phones. That's what they respond to. You know, our phones hold up a rather unflattering mirror to ourselves and what we are like, or what our brains are like.
Yeah.
This is the big issue. This is very cognitive. It's to do with our brains and our thinking. And this is what leads us into a negative thought spiral, because we live what I would call hyper-cognitive lives. We're always thinking about everything. Our brains are too complex for us to cope with and they lead us down these rabbit holes time and again.
Is there a tipping point? Is there a ratio above which that we don't notice the negative information? You know, if we are hit with kind of 99 pieces of positive information and one negative, do we notice the negative?
Yes, we do. We notice the negative. It leaps
out at us. Is there a point
at
which that we don't notice?
No, there's no demonstrated point. We will seek out that negative information. I could give you 1,000 pieces of positive information right now, and your brain will be drawn to one negative piece in preference to the 1,000 positive ones. It's what we do.
So this is the phenomenon of the negative comment underneath a post you might put online. People ignore all of the lovely stuff that others say, and it's the one thing that says, ugh, Brendan, where did you get that shirt?
Yeah, no, they absolutely. And while
I know
that shirt, this is an amazing shirt,
it's a lovely shirt.
But I will reflect on your comment after I leave the studio, because that's what I'm built to do as a human.
Yeah.
So what can we do to fix this? Obviously, becoming aware of it is important, but as often as not, when we become aware of a bias, the bias gets worse. So we say, goodness, not only do I doom scroll, but now I know it's a bad thing to do, and that leads us down another doom-laden negative path. So being aware is important, but we should not use it as a stick to beat ourselves with.
How true is this for all people? You know, the way you get the sense, certainly, that some people get overly impacted by those negative comments, and to others it's water off a duck's back.
Yeah, for very few people is it completely water off a duck's back. There is a spectrum here. You do meet people who are bouncing around the place incredibly positive and happy about everything all the
deluded
time.
Deluded people.
Well, from time to time, you might get an impulse.
Your line of work, that's what she called them.
You know, and it can be difficult to integrate such people into your life. Let me put it like that as best as I can. On the other hand, there are people who are extremely negative all the time, and that's very concerning. There are things we can do to try and counteract this, though,
okay,
for sure. The biggest problem that we have as humans, and this is across the spectrum, is we think almost too much about absolutely everything. And we tend to treat our physical bodies as if they are just machines for carrying our brains around. And we tend to forget that our mind, our brain, is part of that same body. So if we are in a spiral of negative thoughts, doom scrolling, just going around in circles, it's very hard to fix that with positive thoughts. It's really hard. It's much easier to fix it with behavior, a physical action. So
okay,
I'll give you an example, Kieran. Let's say you're at home and you're getting very negative thoughts going around in circles, and then you step outside and it's spilling rain.
Yeah.
Immediately, one thing matters, getting back out of the rain. So you've used physical sensation to interrupt negative thinking. So physical behaviours, physical feelings are the best way to interrupt a spiral of negative thoughts, not necessarily positive thoughts, because they will always struggle against negative information.
Well, what about the argument that you shield yourself from this information in the first place? You become some sort of news hermit.
Yeah, so that is one response. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have done that, simply stop listening to the news. I don't listen to the news anymore, is what people say to me. That doesn't work in the longer term, because the mentally healthy way to approach a negative behavior is not just to stop it, but to replace it with a positive behavior, something that you actually like doing and something very different. So we replace negative thoughts with positive behaviors, actions, physical movements, sensations, going outside, standing up. And people have various techniques for this, but the simplest one is easily stepping outside, where our physical sensations suddenly take over from negative thoughts.
And it doesn't have to be raining outside.
Oh, no, no. Raining is just the most dramatic example.
And the most likely example, maybe, in this country.
It is. But water is uniquely powerful physically for interrupting things. And many people, as you know, swear to the value, and they're right, of swimming or, you know, jumping in the water at least once every day if you live by the sea, as a way of interrupting negative thoughts and pressing the reset button. Because you can't really argue logically with a physical feeling like wetness.
Innately, everybody will agree with what you're saying, and they'll think, God, I've never gone for that walk or that dip in the sea or done a bit of gardening and regretted the time I spent doing it, yet I do regret the time I spend when I pick up the phone. Yet we're drawn back to it.
Yes, we are. And we do need to be aware of that and value even more the gardening, the walking, the swimming. And it's good to think of these activities as absorption activities. These are activities that you click into and you do them for a while. You think an hour has passed, but in fact, it has been 2 hours because you're so absorbed in the gardening, the swimming, the knitting, the running, the walking, whatever it might be. We don't value that state of absorption enough. We live hypercognitive lives in an overdetermined world. Our brains are too complex for us to cope with, so we need to shift attention a little to the physical body.
Brendan, thanks a million for coming into us. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.